Renting to the wrong person. We recently had a new resident who happened to be a convicted sex offender move into one of the properties we manage. This person lied on their application by checking no to the question that asks if they had ever been convicted of a felony. Apparently, this person moved from Texas to Arizona and broke the law by not registering with the state until after moving into our property. We weren't alerted to this by our criminal and credit background screening company who processed the application. You can imagine my shock when I received the letter issued by the local police department to the neighborhood that a sex offender was living at the property. And you can imagine the anger of the residents in the community when the local authorities notified them and then the local media picked up the story. The hundreds of residents and families living at the property were up in arms. Obviously, we had to act fast. We fielded dozens of phone calls from our current residents worried about their children's and their own safety, and the property owners had a few things to say as well. To solve the problem, I immediately contacted the resident and we discussed the situation. I agreed to take care of the moving expenses for the person who wanted to relocate. The manager personally oversaw the move and the situation was resolved. This kind of swift action turned a bad situation into one that actually made us stronger. We demonstrated that when concerns are raised, no matter how infrequently, we take them seriously and try to be responsive. We didn't make a big splash about the situation. We simply told people who asked that the person had moved out. Had we not taken this course of action, we would have experienced a mass exodus of good residents, guaranteed. Not taking care of your current residents. There is no mystery to the trend that when you take care of your residents, they are more likely to renew their leases. This is human nature. We've all had bad experiences at a hotel or a department store and swore that we would never go back. It is no different in property management. Taking care of your residents means responding to their calls quickly. It means fixing what needs to be fixed. It means a courteous, professional staff that are always happy to help. It means doing everything you would expect yourself if you were a resident. The domino effect here is that unhappy residents create vacancies, and vacancies create cash flow problems. Be proactive and create a system that is responsive to your residents, and you will keep them. Not budgeting for the unexpected. Have you ever heard the phrase, "stuff happens"? Well, I am proof that when it does, cleaning up after the mess takes longer and costs more than you will always think it will. Be prepared for problems that will develop as you own the property. I am talking about things like blown hot water tanks, floods that require new flooring and drywall, small fires that damage cabinets and appliances, compressors that fail on the hottest day of the year, broken windows, carport damage from moving companies, and windstorm damage, all with repair costs that are less than your insurance deductible. Got the point? Maintain a reserve fund that is adequate for your property for when the unexpected happens. Hopefully, you never have to use it. It is hard to set guidelines for how much to put aside because every property is in a different condition when you buy it. What I do is look at the condition and flag things like older roofs or appliances that are likely to fail. Then I put aside additional funds for things that break unexpectedly. Property management is a 365-day-a-year, 24-hour-a-day job. You owe it to your residents to be available and responsive. You also owe it to yourself if you are serious about your investment appreciating and generating cash flow. This is the customer service aspect of the business, and it is absolutely fundamental to your success. To sell or not to sell. In an earlier section, we talked about the pros and cons of flipping your way to wealth. Flipping, as you recall, is the act of buying property and selling it rapidly at a profit. That profit is either used to purchase another property or pocketed. Many people think this is the way to build wealth, but to me, it is not. I am a firm believer in buying and holding property. That's what I do, and that's how you create wealth and cash flow. But sometimes you will want or need to sell your property. That doesn't mean you simply call your real estate agent and put a for sale sign out on the street. It requires some strategy. Just as you want to manage your property to maximize cash flow, you'll want to sell your property to maximize your return on your investment. That means you'll want to sell your property at the highest price possible. And if you've learned anything from this audiobook, hopefully you've learned that the price of the property is based on its operations. By now, you will have already done your management plan, which guides you as you manage your property to maximize its cash flow. That's great. That's what a management plan should do. Of course, you're using it daily, referring to it often, and updating it annually. Aren't you? Well, maybe not annually. In truth, if you're like most people, once your building is occupied and running well, you may not remember where the building is, let alone where the management plan is. It's scary, but it happens. So, if you are an absentee owner, find the management plan, dust it off, and take a look at it. You'll need this to prepare your property for sale. This entire audiobook has trained you to view and evaluate properties as a buyer. But to sell your property, you have to view it as a seller. Remember the discussion about retail and wholesale? Buyers want to buy property at wholesale, and sellers want to sell it at retail. This section will show you how to have as much of your operations at the retail level to bring you the highest sale price possible. How do you do that? There are two basic methods.